Well, I'm Michael Marquardt, and welcome to Gospel Tangents.
Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. We're continuing our conversation with historian Michael Marquardt. We're going to try to identify who the original six church members were that organized the church on April 6, 1830. So Michael has some pretty good guesses on that. And so we're going to talk about who likely was there. And so it's going to be a fun conversation. I'd also like to encourage you to please subscribe on our website. Go to gospeltangents.com and then click the yellow subscribe button. And if you do that, I will be able to send you a transcript of this interview and future transcripts for just $10 a month. So please help support Gospel Tangents and help make this a wonderful history resources for lots of people. Now back to our conversation.
You said we have pretty good records of the people who were baptized April 6th in Manchester. Do we know who those people were?
Yes, well, the earliest we have, because these, if they're men, of course, they would be ordained to an office in the church, mm-hmm. elders, priest, teacher. And so, since there was no minutes and no other church record, even though they were supposed to keep records, we don't have that. And so we have the manuscript history of the church mentions Joseph Smith Sr., and it also mentions Lucy Mack Smith, and those are Joseph Smith's father Harris. And mother.
Okay. Yeah.
It mentions Martin Harris.
Okay.
And it didn't have the first name, but the last name was Rockwell.
So Porter Rockwell, probably?
No.
Oh, really?
It was pretty close. It was his mother, but they're taking these notes. If you look at the notes, there are a lot of cross-outs, pretty bad shape. There's even notes at the bottom that some of this may have happened two or three days later.
Oh.
And that was recopied into the bound manuscript history.
Okay.
So we still have Joseph Sr. and Lucy Smith, uh-huh. Martin Harris, and I have A. Rockwell, A. blank space Rockwell.
Okay. And you think that was Porter's mother?
Yeah, over a period of time, because there's other indications that that was who it was. But,
okay.
But at the time, there was no record, you wouldn't know. And we're certain that Joseph Smith Sr. was baptized then, because Joseph Jr.,
mm-hmm.
he was so excited to have his father being baptized. And his mother, Lucy, mentions that in her recollections. And then also we do have a recollection of Joseph Knight Sr., and he was the one who traveled to Manchester and was there and witnessed the baptism of Joseph Sr. and told how Joseph was very excited, as you know, as a son would be, crying and everything, mm-hmm. of the joy of having his father baptized.
Okay. So those four seem pretty solid then.
They seem pretty solid to me.
Okay. Was Joseph and Oliver, were they rebaptized? Because I know they were baptized in 1829, right?
Yes.
So were they rebaptized? Is there any indication they were rebaptized on that day for the organization?
There's no indication that they were rebaptized. One baptism was good enough.
So if we go with the number six, could it be those four plus Oliver and Joseph as the original six?
Yeah, even though there wasn't a list, there was... first we have the revelations,
mm-hmm.
and there was six revelations, and one of them, of course, was for Joseph Smith Sr.,
mm-hmm.
Samuel Smith, there's Hiram Smith, of course, Joseph Smith himself,
I mean, could it have been more than six then? Because Samuel and Hiram, we haven't talked about them yet as far as the first day.
Yeah, we don't know, you know, how many were there. We do know that there are, you know, people who witnessed the baptisms, but we don't know who was actually in the log home.
Okay. So there could have been a lot more than six. So Hiram, Samuel, I think you said Newell.
Joseph Knight Sr. was there.
Joseph Knight.
But he was not baptized at that time. But he got a revelation that he should join the true church. And he wanted to read the Book of Mormon.
Okay.
So, and the location of that log home was in Manchester.
Now, where was Joseph Jr., I'll specify, living on April 6, 1830? Do we know? Was it Manchester or not Fayette?
Well, he had traveled up from the Harmony area where he was. Joseph Knight Sr.
Oh, because he translated the Book of Mormon in Harmony.
Well, he did it Harmony and Fayette.
Okay.
Two locations, but this is in 1830. And he traveled up with Joseph Knight Sr. And that his recollections were written down prior to his death in 1847. So that's the only reason we would know that he even took him up there. And they drove up to Manchester and they saw Martin Harris. Joseph Smith said that there's Martin with a bunch of Mormon books. And so that indicated it was, you know, at the latter part of March 1830. And Martin Harris stayed overnight that night, and he was said not too many people were interested in purchasing the book.
Mm-hmm.
But he was there, and he also said he must have a commandment, and that there is a commandment for Martin Harris in March 1830. And since you mentioned the Joseph Smith papers, they want to date that to the summer of 1829. So even at this late date, people have been changing the early ideas and revelations and dates. And so, yeah, we have a problem that, you know, people are saying it's organized in Fayette. Well, the reason it was a financial reason to protect the church, which is understandable. But as we look back, we can, you know, see that it was not actually organized in Fayette.
Okay, so let me make sure I'm following you there. So April 6th, we have some sort of a church meeting. We've got an unknown number of people there. And they don't file any paperwork, as far as we can tell, to organize a church in April of 1830. So the first paperwork that's filed is in 1833, when they change the name to the Church of the Latter-day Saints, and then they say it's Fayette. Is that correct? Am I saying that correct?
Well, there was no... evidently, there was no incorporation that we know of in Ohio. There was a possibility, but I don't know of any document that says that. They were incorporated in Illinois, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And the church today, as a body, is an unincorporated body of believers, just as originally the Church of Christ. So things have changed.
Wow, this is getting complicated.
Yeah,
because I listened to a podcast with I want to say his name is Darren Smith. What's his name? Book of Mammon, is that the guy? Didn't he say that the church is a corporation soul?
Well, there's two Utah corporations. One's a corporation of the presiding bishop.
Right.
Who would mainly hold property, and that's a corporation soul.
Okay.
And the other one, done years later, is Corporation of the President of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, corporation soul.
So they're both corporation souls.
Yeah, they're both corporations under the law of the state of Utah.
Okay. So, okay, so April 6, 1830, there's no corporation. But the church has some sort of debts, or Joseph Smith has debts or something, so they decide to change the name?
Well, the United Firm had debts because they have different things that they borrowed money from, and they owed money. There's different dates, and they're also borrowing money from church members to meet those arrangements had been made.
Mm-hmm.
And also the revelations mentioned.
So this United Firm, was this like an incorporation sort of a document then? Or
no, it was just members of the high priest. Some of them were also a member of the, what they call, literary firm, in charge of publications, for example, the scriptures. So, for example, we haven't talked about the Book of Commandments, but that was something that was done even prior to that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things going on, but it's also mentioned in letters and everything that there's, pretty debt-ridden at that time.
So, okay, so there's no official documents. Joseph Smith is just kind of freewheeling, doing the best he can with his finances. He asks Martin to pay for the Book of Mormon. Martin mortgages his farm and then loses his farm. So essentially we've got all of these, and then Book of Commandments, because they started a printing press. I mean, essentially they were trying to, and I know Sidney Rigdon was the one who kind of introduced consecration among the saints. So you said there was this United Firm, which is a group of high priests that kind of put together, they published the Book of Commandments and take care of some of the financial things.
Yeah, there a lot of these things, they have, usually these are men who have many hats. And so they, the early records show that they were, the church was in debt.
Okay.
Because this debt would be, of course, in the names of these, those who, filled out paperwork and everything. We don't even have copies of all that, even. But we know it from letters. We know it from people selling lands and mm-hmm. People meeting and trying to get, contributions.
Okay, so essentially we've piled up a bunch of debts. And so they changed the church to the Church of the Latter-day Saints in 1834 to wipe away those debts, or how does that work?
The easiest way to figure it out, because there's not that much paperwork, except that they did owe money, and so we know that it would take a strong reason to change the name of the church. And once you did that, you change the location. Because the New York law says something about the first Tuesday in April.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, April 6, 1830 was a Tuesday where different towns would get together and select their constables, overseers of the highway and everything else. So they would be meeting in their town, and there's absolutely no indication that there's any meeting in Fayette at all. There's no indication that any of the Whitmer family was in Manchester. So over a period of time, people have been looking for incorporation. It's not there. They've been trying to say that, well, the church is following that law. Well, there's no need to follow that law. It says in the Revelation and also in the Articles and Covenants of the church, the church was organized and established on April 6, 1830. And one of them was, of course, a revelation given at Manchester, and the other one is the Articles and Covenants sustained in the first church conference in June. So the early stuff is what we're looking at, and over a period of time, people remember, yes, I saw those baptisms, And I guess if we didn't have that, we wouldn't have a lot of information, but we do have enough. In fact, the manuscript history of the church, on the other hand, even though it mentions Fayette, which is incorrect, it does mention other baptisms, and probably the only record we have. So there probably was a list that was used to help compose the manuscript history. Because a history kept by Oliver Cowdery is non-extant, and John Whitmer doesn't start his history that early.
Wow, it's getting really muddy. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Michael Marquardt. In our next conversation, we'll try to get into the origins of priesthood. How was the church organized as early as 1830 with regards to priesthood?
The authority that the early holders of offices in the church would be, that they were called by the Spirit or whatever. It was not this, trying to get back to the original apostles or ideas of who held the priesthood in the New Testament or Book of Mormon times. It's only after you have 12 ordained apostles.
And that was 1835, right?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll have a transcript out shortly on this conversation, and you can purchase individual copies at our website at gospeltangents.com/shop. If you want to be the first to get a copy, please subscribe on our website for just $10 a month. I'll send it to you first as a PDF. Or if you'd like a physical copy, for $15 a month, I'll be happy to send that to you as well. You can get our transcripts at our Amazon.com author page. I've got a link here, but just do a search for Gospel Tangents Interview and you should be able to find a bunch of them there. Please subscribe at patreon.com/gospeltangents. For $5 a month, you can hear the entire interview uncut. And for $10, you can get a PDF copy. We've also got a $15 tier where if you want a physical copy, I'll be the first to send it to you. So please subscribe at Patreon or on our website at gospeltangents.com as well. For our latest updates, please like our page at facebook.com/gospeltangents. And also check our Twitter updates at Gospel Tangents as well. Please subscribe on our Apple Podcasts page at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents, or you can subscribe on your Android device. Just do a search for Gospel Tangents. Thanks again for listening. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got some more of our great videos. Thanks again.